Let's review Erev and Daf Nun. Hey, Tan Rabban, Brisa discusses how to draw the boundaries of cities with six different shapes for the sake of figuring out Tchum Shabbos. Arucha Kamos Shehi, a rectangular city keeps its normal boundaries, we don't have to square it off. Agula Osin Lazavios, we draw a square around a circular city and measure the Tchum from the square. Meruvas Ein Osin Lazavios, a square city keeps its normal boundaries even if its sides aren't perfectly aligned with east, west, north, and south. Haisa Ruchava Mitzarecher, Ruchzar Mitzarecher, if it's wider on one end, narrower on the other end, we draw the boundaries like two parallel lines to make it a rectangle. Hayubayis Echad Yotze Kamin Pagum, if one or two houses stick out beyond the rest of the houses, we draw a straight boundary line past the protruding houses that runs perpendicular to the boundaries on either side, and that's even true if there are two houses that stick out of different sides of the city, and we need to extend the boundaries on two different sides. Haisasuya Kamin Keshes or Kamin Gam, if the city is shaped like an L or like a bow, we view the inside area as if it were filled in. Amar Rav Huna, Yir Asuya Kekeshes, Im Yesh Min Shnei Roshei Apochus Mei Arba Salaf Mama, Modlo Min HaYesev, Im Lav Modlo Min HaKeshes. A bow-shaped city, if the two ends of the bow are less than 4,000 amas from each other, we can view the entire center space as if it's filled in when measuring the Tchum. But if the two ends are more than 4,000 amas from each other, each person would have to measure from his location on the bow itself. Umiyama Rafuna Hachi, does Rafuna really hold that we allow for such a large gap? Didn't Rafuna say that if a city has a giant blank space dividing it into two, the two halves of the city would only share a single tchum if separated by less than 141 and a third amos, not 4,000 amos, significantly smaller number? So Rabbi Barula answers that he only limits the gap to 141 and a third amos when the two parts are completely separated from each other. But when they're still connected on one side, like in the bow-shaped city, the gap can be up to 4,000 amos. Although Rafuna already taught that two neighboring cities can be connected by a gap of under 141 and a third amos, he teaches it again over here, since in our case the gap wasn't always there, it was a new gap. There is a machlok samurai where the review of bow-shaped city as if the center is filled in even when the middle of the bow and the place where the bowstring would be are more than 2,000 amos from each other. Abaye paskins Rava Bereda Rabba Barafuna, that we view it as if it were closed up even if the gap is more than 2,000 amos, since a person could easily walk to the bowstring through the bow itself. The Mishnah said that if there are ruins 10 tvachim high, they can extend the boundary of the city. This includes three walls that don't have a roof. The Gemara brings a brisa that lists several types of structures that can extend the city and several others that cannot extend the city. Ibailu, Shtei Mechitos Yeshalim Tikra Mahu. With two walls that have a roof over them also extend the boundary of a city? So the brisa lists Nefesh Nifrasa Mishtei Ruchos Eilach Ve'Eilach, a tomb building that has two walls and is breached on two sides amongst the structures that don't extend the city, apparently proving that two walls and a roof do not extend the city. It's not considered a dira enough to extend the city. So the Gemara rejects that raya because the lack of tikra. Maybe speaking about a tomb that does not have a roof, so maybe it's just two walls without a roof. Bayis Shabiyam, a house on the sea, which Rav Papa explains refers to the building that the kelim of a ship are kept in when they are emptied from the ship, is significant enough to extend the city. A cave does not extend the city, but when there is a bayis at the mouth of the cave, which together with the cave measures at least 4x4 amos, the cave does extend the city's boundary. The daf concludes by discussing the halachas of tchum of different types of living spaces. People who live in huts can measure their tchum from the doors of their homes and not from the edge of town, since a group of huts is not considered a city. Even though the entire encampment of Klal Yisrael and Midbar was considered like a city, that's only because al pi Hashem Yachnu v'al pi Hashem Yisau command the Kaviyah Luhudami. Since they camped by the command of Hashem, it was considered a more permanent residence, even though they were really intense. If a community of huts has three chatzeros, which each have two houses, then even Rav Huna would agree that it becomes a city. Rav Yudah Marav teaches that people who live in huts and travel through deserts, chayehen einam chayim, their lives aren't lives, because they're always traveling. And nesheyen v'bneim einam shalahem, their wives and their children aren't really theirs, either because the men have to travel to bathhouses or because the women have to travel to a mikveh, which leaves the women vulnerable to bad men violating them. Amar Rav Huna, kol ir she'in bayarek ein talmud chacham rashei ladorba. A talmud chacham is not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have healthy vegetables such as garlic and leek and radish leaves, at least in the summertime. Other vegetables, however, along with coarse bread and fresh beer, are very unhealthy for a person's bowel movements, for a person's posture, and for a person's eyesight, and those things should be avoided.